welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your copy of God's Word. Go with me to Psalm 90. It's good to be back with you guys this week. It was good to be away last Sunday. I appreciate Pastor Ed stepping in and bringing the Word, and everyone told me what a fine message he delivered, just on the meekness and the gentleness, the kindness of Christ. And we had a good time. My kids are young enough still, at least some of them are, where if you just go to a hotel with a pool, that's a vacation, all right? And so that's kind of what we did. We just kind of got out of town, but we had just a great time, just an amazing time as family. We went to one of them trampoline parks, and you know, I was going to be the cool dad and actually jump with them. And so it was not cool the next day. Let me just put it that way. It was not cool the next day. Today we're beginning a new series that's going to carry us through Christmas. It's called Not Mine, But Thine. Not Mine, But Thine, with this tagline: stewarding our time, talent, and treasure for God's kingdom. Now, the mindset behind that series title comes straight from our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll remember, there in the King James Version of Jesus' words, Luke 22:42, as he's praying there on the Mount of Olives, the night that he would be arrested, the night that he would be betrayed, he prayed. He laid his life down before the Father, and here's what he prayed. He prayed, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Not mine, but thine. You see, Jesus Christ was not living for himself. Jesus Christ was living for the Father. He wanted the Father's will to go forward, not his, not his own. And you and I, we should have the same mindset in our lives that Christ exhibited right there in that prayer. And so at any point of our life, when our will would diverge from the Father's will, we should humbly and gladly say, "Not mine, but thine." And guys, that extends, as we think about this series on stewardship, that extends especially to the things that God has entrusted to us, right? Our time, our talent, our treasure. I don't want my will to be done for those things if it's apart from the Father's will. I want the Father's will to be done. So we should have a not mine but thine sort of attitude toward these things, and that's fitting because ultimately these things don't belong to us anyways, right? God's given them to us, and he retains ownership over them. They're not mine, but thine, God. You see, these are the things that God has given us. He ultimately retains ownership of, and we do way better with these things when we live in light of that truth. My time, my talent, my treasure, not ultimately mine, but thine. We're stewards, not owners. So here in October and November, we're going to look at stewarding time, talent, and treasure for God's kingdom. And today we're going to start with time, all right? As we think about time, we have to face some facts. Some of the facts are this: there are 24 hours in a day, last time I checked, right? If we were to break that down in minutes, that's 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds, and every one of them, let me say this again, every one of them is precious to God. Every one of them is precious to God. Time, though, is something that we feel we never have enough of. Yet, we always so freely give it away, so easily give it away. Someone once said this very wise saying. He said, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. You know, Jim Croce, back in the early 1970s, he sang those lovesick, melancholy lyrics about if he could just put time in a bottle. But then in the chorus, he would lament, but there never seems to be enough time. I mean, wouldn't that be something if we could, if we could store up time in a bottle, if we could save time in a bottle, save it for later, pull it out whenever we wanted to use it? But that's not how time works, is it? You see, we often look forward to the future, but the future just became the present, and the present just became the past, right? It slips away second by second, hour by hour, day by day, sort of like the sand in an hourglass. And here's just something to think about, just a visual to get in your head today, because the title of this message is The Last Grain of Sand. The Last Grain of Sand. And for each one of us, one day that last grain of sand will fall. It's going to happen to us one day, and our time on earth will be done forever on the earth in this age. Therefore, we've got to use it wisely. And to do so, we've got to turn to the one who created time and who has given us that time, and that is our Lord God. So I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Just one verse today as our foundational verse to kind of set the stage for what we're going to learn today. And this really, we should make this our prayer today. Psalm 90 verse 12 simply says this, and this is speaking to God. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. That's our prayer today. Let's go to God. Father, we do want that. We want a heart of wisdom. We want to be wise. I've never met anybody that says, I want to be a fool. God, we want to be wise. And so to help us do that, Lord, teach us today to number our days. Lord, we love you. We thank you. God, if there's anybody here today who's never turned and trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that today especially would be the day that they would see themselves as the sinner that they are and Christ as the Savior that he is. And today would be the day that they would turn and trust in Jesus and be saved. Father, we rejoice in the hope of Jesus. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. So grab your seat there. I bet every one of you, if I were to say, give me a show of hands, and how many of you guys would say, I want to be wise? All of you would raise your hands. I'm not even going to ask you to do it, right? It's a foregone conclusion. But I want you to notice the foundational text, what it says here. So teach us, it says here, to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. You see, what it says there is that wisdom is the product of numbering our days. Wisdom is the result of thinking about time biblically, thinking about time as God sees it. And so God, teach us to number our days so that we will be wise. And so here is today's task. We're going to answer this question today. How do I wisely use the time that God has given me? And we're going to look at five actions to help us to do that today. And sort of, again, sort of a biblical theology of time in one sense. First is this: if we're going to use time wisely, then we have to acknowledge that your life is on loan from God for a fixed term. Your life is on loan from God for a fixed term. Any biblical worldview about time, just any biblical worldview in general, begins with God, right? He is the foundational truth that God is, and that God is the one who has given you life. He's the creator of life, the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life. Colossians 1, 15 through 17, speaking about Jesus, who is God in the flesh, tells us this about your life and my life. It says he, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. What that means is that you exist because God wills you to exist. And you continue to exist in this age and in the age to come because of God. So every point of your existence, every single point of your existence You are completely dependent upon God. It's God who breathed life into you, creating you in your mother's womb, giving you and creating you as a living body and soul. But one day, according to the Word of God, one day, your time on earth will be over and your soul will return to God. Ecclesiastes 12, 5 through 7 teaches, man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. But before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel is broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So, beloved, the very fact that your spirit one day will return to God who gave it means that your life is on loan from God. He's the true owner, right? He is the lender to you in this age. And so, as you've probably heard, it's a really good time to refinance your home, right? I mean, great interest rates and all those things. And so I've been talking to a lot of people about it, and Christy and I have been talking about it as well. And you know, you look at a mortgage, it typically comes in standard years, right? 15, 20, 30. Those are the typical standard terms for a mortgage. Well, the Bible says that your life is on loan from God, on loan to you for a fixed number of years, a fixed number of years. Listen to what Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And listen to this. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God in his sovereignty, God in his grace, God in his providence, he has ordained a certain number of days for you. It's a fixed number. It's a fixed term. And it's all different for every one of us. For some of us, that fixed term is 78 or 79 years. That's the average life of a human being in America. For others, it's not 79 years, it's 9 years. For others, it's 97 years or maybe 27 years. It could be any number between 1 and 120. That seems to be the upper limit, right? But according to Scripture, it's a fixed number. Now, for some of us, that means that the metaphorical hourglass that is representing our life is really big. It's got a lot of sand in it. But for others of us, it's really small. Just a little bit of sand. Just maybe if you go to the beach and your kids build a sandcastle, just a bucket full of sand. Really small compared to the entire beach, right? Maybe that's you. And of course, there's everywhere in between. Different sizes, but here's the kicker. You and I, we have no clue whatsoever what size we have, how much sand we have, how many days, how many years that God has ordained for us. But while we have no clue about the actual number, we do know this one truth. One day, the last grain of sand is going to fall. One day, the last grain of sand is going to fall. And the life that God has loaned us on this earth will return back to him. So if we're going to wisely use the time that God has given us, then we've got to acknowledge this. Our life is on loan to us for a fixed number of days. Secondly, you got to realize that you're going to give an account to God for your time. You have to realize that. You'll give an account to God for your time. Now, if point number one was kind of an eye-opener, I hope it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you're like, oh, yeah, I knew that. I knew I was going to die someday, Ben. Well, here's the real eye-opener then. One day you're going to stand before God, and you're going to have to give an account for the life that you live, for the time that God gave you. Romans 14, 10 through 12 says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. We will confess to God. What did you do at the time? I'm going to confess that to God. So then each of us, it says in verse 12, will give an account of himself to God. And part of that accounting will certainly be, Ben, how did you use the time that I gave you? Did you steward it wisely or foolishly? Did you make the most of it or did you waste it? Now, some of you might be thinking, preacher, I already have my schedule filled from top to bottom. I've got to sleep sometime. Well, beloved, hear me. God's not going to ask you if you were busy. That's not the question he's going to ask you. I mean, aren't we all busy? Aren't we all covered up? You ask somebody, how's it? I'm just covered up. We're all booked up. Here's what God is going to ask you. Did you use the time I gave you wisely? You see, sleep and rest and recreation in the right proportion, that's very wise. That's time well spent. And sometimes, and we need to hear this morning, sometimes busyness is the most foolish thing you can do with your time. Amen? Sometimes busyness is the most foolish thing that you can do with your time. It can keep you from what's most important. The average human life, 78 years here in America. The typical American will spend 25 years sleeping. And you probably should, right? I mean, the experts say like 8 hours is really important. That's fine. So that means you get 53 years of being awake. 53 years. 18 of those are spent either at work or school. 18 years, literally 18 years at either work or at school. 3.5 of those years are spent eating, it says, when we look at statistics. A year and a half is spent in the bathroom. 92 of those days are actually on the toilet. 1 year you spend in your life deciding what to wear. And then 6.5 of our waking years in modern day is spent looking at social media. 6.5 years. Now, the good news with that is there's some overlap between the bathroom time and your social media time, right? I mean, what else is there to do, right, as you spend those 92 days on the toilet? But I could go on and on, right? I mean, but you get the point. Our time gets spent on so many things, some good, some bad. Now, hear me very clearly. Sin is always a waste of your time. Sin is always a waste of your time. But here's the deal. It's your time. It's your time to spend it however you desire. God is freely giving you, he's freely given you the freedom, the volition to do what you most want to do with your time. God has lent it to you. But one day, you're going to have to give an account to God for how it was used. And the gravity of our sin, we have to realize this, pulls us to using our time unwisely, doesn't it? The gravity of our sin pulls us to waste our life. But Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 calls us, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Right now, if you were to have to stand before God, before the judgment seat of God, how would your last week look? Did you make the most of your time? I'm not even going to go back to the last decade. We're just talking about last week for a moment. Did you make the best use of your time? Now, here's the deal. Every one of us would fall short. Only by the grace of God will we stand before the judgment seat of God and not be cast into hell. By the grace of God, through the grace of God alone, will we enter into heaven. Jesus' time was time well spent. And by the grace of God, we get that accounted to us. Jesus died on the cross to cover even your sin of wasting the time that God has given you. But may we go and waste no more, right? May we go and waste no more. Third, this morning, if we're going to wisely use the time that God has given us, then we've got to keep God at the center of your time. Keep God at the center of your time. You see, a life without God, it's meaningless. That's why atheism leads to futility. It leads to nihilism, which says there's nothing. That's what a life without God will lead you to. Nothingness, meaninglessness. It is God who gives life meaning. It is God who makes life better. Therefore, you and I, guys, we've got to have God always at the center of our time. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, helps us to understand how we do that when he says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Now, in the text there, in the context of that, he's talking about Christian freedom, right? Whether you eat or whether you drink. He's talking about, do we eat this stuff sacrificed to idols? Do we not? And all this stuff. But he says, so whichever one you do, do it for the glory of God. But then he adds in that phrase, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And when you and I do that, guys, that redeems the time. Now, even the most mundane uses of time gain eternal significance. Me mating socks at my house. You can imagine, right? You can imagine seven people and all those poor lonesome socks who have lost their mate, those poor widow socks. It's like, you talk about an exercise in futility, it feels like, but even that can be done to the glory of God. Washing dishes, commuting to work, changing diapers, turning wrenches, writing emails, shuttling that child to one more practice or lesson. They all become significant if done unto the glory of God. Now, that's not just a Christian cliche. It's not. Do everything unto the glory of God. It's a way of life. It's a life that gives glory to God. A life that gives glory to God in everything is mindful of God in everything. He's mindful of God in everything, and he's thankful to God in everything. He does his best or her best for God in everything and rests in the grace of God in everything. A life that gives glory to God in everything is a life that screams to God, I can't do this without you, God. I need you, God. Help me, God. Martin Luther, I mean, the great reformer, right? You talk about a dude that maximized his life. He once said this. He said, I have so much to do today. Can I get an amen? I've got so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done. Now, Luther there may have been doing a little hyperbole there. But if you know anything about Luther, there's a good chance he was being dead serious. He was going to spend 3 hours in prayer. Beloved, listen to me. Prayer is never time wasted with God because it draws you close to God. It fills you up with the power of God. And a life that gives glory to God in everything is a life that is lived for God by the power of God. That's a life that glorifies God in everything. In all things, we can live for God. In big things and in small things. And in these things, guys, in all these things, we seek to glorify God in Jesus Christ. The British missionary, C.T. Studd, he once wrote a poem, and it's got several stanzas to it, but here's one of the stanzas that he said. He said, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So, beloved, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Make him your heartbeat. Make him your passion. Make him the center of your time. Fourth, this morning, I would say this. If you're going to use your time wisely, you must fill your time with love for others. Fill your time with love for others, right? We don't want to give into this worldly thinking of what a successful life is. The world says you've been successful if you've amassed wealth, if you've amassed fame, right? If people know your name, and if you have amassed power. You got money, you got fame, you got power. That is a life well lived, the world would say. But that's not how God measures success. Because listen to me, some of the best stewards of their time are little grandmas that you've never even heard of. You know what I'm talking about? You've never even heard their name. God measures success by love. He said to us through Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 4:8, he said, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Other translations say deeply, fervently, intensely. Jesus, he summed up the calling of the whole Christian life as the commandment to love, Matthew 22:37-40. And Jesus said to the scribe, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Love God, love people. Love is the measure of success with this time that you've been given. Love your neighbor, love God, love your Christian family, love your enemies. Love everybody. You want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? If that's what you want to hear, then fill your life with love. Fill your life with love. Especially to those that are closest to you. I want to preach to me for a moment. One of the biggest ways that we waste our time is to not be present with those that are right in front of us. In 2020... one of the biggest wasters of time are things that we're doing when people are right there, but we're preoccupied with something else. I'm preaching to me. I may be preaching to you. I don't know. I'm preaching to me here. Listen to me. We often spend so much time focusing on others outside of those that are right there. Are the ones who are closest to us. The ones that God has given us primary responsibility to impact in this life, to love most in this life. Our spouses, our children, they often get the leftovers, don't they? Oftentimes they get the leftovers. Let me just put this thought in your head. You've probably thought about this, but you need to think about it again today. Everybody else that you pour your life into, praise God for that. God has asked you and me to be fruitful in a lot of ways. But the everybody else's won't be around your deathbed as you die. The everybody else's won't be there like your spouse and your children will when that last grain of sand falls in your hourglass. And so, if anybody should be loved well by you, it is them. Showing your spouse love is never wasted time. Showing your children love, giving them the time, putting down the things that are between you and distracting you. Showing your children time is never wasted time. Ben Simpson, that is never wasted time. It is better spent time. Fill your life with love. And finally, I would say this to you this morning. If you're going to wisely use your time, then you have to prepare yourself for the time after your time ends. Prepare yourself for the time after time ends. You see, a Christian worldview on time understands that you will live forever somewhere, two destinations, heaven or hell. And this life, this age that you've been given, is the opportunity that you have to choose between the two. That choice has been set before you. Life or death, heaven or hell. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Once! There's no reincarnation. There's no second chance. This is the life that you've been given. Do not waste it by rejecting your Lord and Savior, the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here today, listen to me. If you're here today and you have never turned and trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, today is the day of salvation. God has given you at least this much time. At least this much. I don't know how much more is in that hourglass, but at least this much time that you might turn from sin and trust in Jesus. Listen to me. I don't know where your life has been. I don't know how your life has been spent. But Jesus Christ is ready to redeem you and to redeem your time. And the most important thing you can ever do in your life with your time is to follow Christ and be saved. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. How do you use your time wisely? Acknowledge that it's from God. Know that you're going to be held accountable for it. Make God the center. Fill your life with love and prepare your life for the time after your time. Here's my final prayer this morning. May your time be time well spent.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us. And I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.